history of Mary of Magdalene. Now apparently they rewrote the Shastras or Christian scriptures to say actually it means they she was married. It's called biblical interpretation, interpreting the New Testament of the Bible. And the Old Testament of the Bible in Genesis or something, at the very beginning of creation. And in the beginning of creation, the Lord sent forth generations of men and animals. And he said, and of you men, you should, the seed-bearing herb and the fruits of the tree should be the manna for man, should be the food for man. This is, in other words, in the beginning of the Bible, the Old Testament, the very ancient, most ancient part of the Bible, called the Old Testament, the Old Testimony from the great Moses and Genesis and all these great Mahajans of Christianity or great souls or whatever, teachers, prophets. And they're saying that in the beginning of creation, all human beings were vegetarians. And they ate fruits and leaves and flowers and herbs and seeds and nuts. But the later day interpreters of that, they say that this, you know, that manna means flesh or something like that. You know, so yes, you eat fruits and seeds and it doesn't mean this is manna, but it means en manna. And manna means flesh, so therefore we can open slaughterhouses and kill animals all over the place, millions a day, to sell McDonald's cow burgers. They call hamburgers in America, but it's actually cow, dead cow. And American around the world, McDonald's is based on animal slaughter, cow slaughter specifically. And even now they're in India, same firm, selling goat burgers or whatever, I don't know, whatever they sell over here. Sometimes they sell vegetarian burgers made out of who knows what. But it's not a very good proposal to go patronize at McDonald's. They kill cows. So they may be, in India, they may be serving out sheep burgers and goat burgers and any kind of other thing they put in there. And then that name of that place with that motto and the golden big M, which is called the Golden Arches in America. One arch for one, you know, M. Looks like an arch and an arch. They call the Golden Arches Freddie McDonald and all these things for kids. And they have all these scams to get people to come in their place, get a free toy, this, that, the other thing. And they advertise like mad on the TV. And Noida and Delhi, everywhere they have these McDonald's. They're the biggest demons in the world. One of the biggest demons. They're like Kansa. Kansa was killing cows and Brahmins and all the babies born in Braj Mandal because he was afraid of Krishna and Balaram. Demoniac. He was against cows and against Brahmins and against children. So this is the modern world. They're against children, so the government makes legalized abortion. All the modern day leaders are just like Kansa. This fiend and this fanatic ruler of Braj Mandal 5,000 years ago. He was killing all the babies, and nowadays the governments are killing. You can go to the government legal baby butcher shop and get your abortion done free if you're poor. When I was in college, I was in a state school for undergraduate work, pre-med, and Rutgers University in New Jersey. Very old school. It was founded in 1766. That's pretty old. 1766. Princeton, Rutgers, Yale, Harvard. These are all very old schools. And they had an abortion clinic on campus in 1970 for students because women dressed so provocatively and enticingly, and they're young. Everyone's young and they're passionate. So then women get pregnant, so then they can go on campus. The on-campus government-sponsored state school, government school abortion clinic. Free for students. So naturally that encourages young boys and girls to commit sin. So the state nowadays is encouraging killing babies, and they're killing cows by the millions and legalized government, USDA government-approved slaughterhouse. United States Department of Agriculture, USDA, stamp of approval, ISO 9001, right? Government certified slaughterhouse. So they slaughter millions, in India they slaughter millions of cows every day for leather export and textiles and all these things. What the speed of meat, speak of so much meat that they consume in India. And in Saudi Arabia and all these places, they ship off boatloads of refrigerated dead cow meat every day to China and Indonesia and all these places. For the tourist industry and hotels and travel and all these things. Five star. So that's killing babies and killing cows and Brahmins. Brahmins have no support nowadays. Any Brahmin, he has to work as some Shudra. Any Brahmin has to go get some education, work as a Shudra for IBM or some international company, has to be a Shudra. Do programming or accounting or something like this. No one can just chant Rig Veda and do Yajna and make a living. Speak Bhagavad Pat. It's impossible. So this Bible, originally, everyone was meant to be vegetarian, so they misinterpreted it to say that no, mana doesn't mean food, mana means meat. So God says the meat should be the food for man. And so then all the Christians eat meat and they feel righteous and proper about it. They say, no, the Bible says, but it was very clearly, even looking at a Greek edition, a Bible in Greek or ancient Hebrew, the Jews, their language is Hebrew. Look at the ancient Hebrew language, and it says that the fruit and seeds and herbs should be the food for man. It's like this. So Jesus, the ancient teachings about Jesus, New Testament and other history, says that he had one disciple, one follower in Jerusalem or whatever, named Mary of Magdalene, one section of the town. And he would meet with her and discuss Hari Katha, Bhagavan Katha. And it's not clear. Sometimes they have books written about the secret love life of Jesus Christ. And there's some intrigue and some mystery about his life. And then no one's really quite clear on it. But at least up until recent times, it was just she was very close to Jesus, but no one ever considered that she was married to him or had anything very intimate with him. But she couldn't contain herself. It's almost like the gopis. And when Krishna was leaving Vrindavan, and when he was 10 years old and 6 months and a few days, was in Falgun Mas, and his 11th year was just running. He was around 10 and a half or so. And then Akrura was sent by Kans to take Krishna and Balaram for the Dhanur Yajna in Mathura. Wrestling match. And the news spread like wildfire in Nandagaon and Yavit and Varsana and Chiksoli and Dabaru and all the villages of the Sakis and the Lita and Radharani, Unchagaon, that Krishna's leaving Vrindavan tomorrow. And that was like, it's like someone saying that the Pakistanis are flying, have just loaded their F-14 fighter jets with unlimited payload of atomic bombs, and somehow they've already terrorized all the Indian Air Force. All the Indian Air Force planes have been blown up on ground by a massive terrorism act. And now the Pakistan Air Force is flying to Delhi and Mathura and Agra to drop 50,000 megatons of nuclear bombs. So if you heard that, you would think, well, I guess it's all over. We're going to all be vaporized. I'll be vaporized in the meltdown of the atomic bomb, atomic Third World War. So then you'd feel like it's the end of the world, it's the end of your life, it's all over. And then you think what to do, cry or pray or curse the Pakistanis or get your wife or girlfriend or whatever, have a last fling before you melt. do a disappearing act. Now you see me, now you don't. Ray gun. Dematerialize. That's what happens. Atomic bomb is so much intense heat that everything just... solid becomes gas in a second. Like Darth Vader, space. What do they call that thing? Star Wars. You have these guns. Right? Make you invisible. So the gopis, you know, when they were got this news, they ran to Nandagram at sunrise, and they started grabbing the reins of the horses. Some grabbed the feet of the horses. Some grabbed Akura's feet and begged him not to take Krishna and Balaram. Some were pulling on Krishna's dhoti, pulling on Balaram's dhoti. Balaram's gopis were also there. Krishna, Balaram Sakigan, Krishna Sakigan. You know, different parties of gopis. Some Krishna's gopis were pulling Krishna, Dauji's gopis were pulling Dauji. And they were trying to contain somewhat their intense attachment and love for Krishna, Sri Krishna, Shamsundar Damodar. But when he mounted the chariot, when he started stepping on the chariot to sit down, and then Akura blew the conch shell three times to begin his yatra, to indicate an auspicious beginning of his Mathura yatra from Nandagaon. The gopis couldn't contain their agony of impending separation any longer. So then they cried out, yelled, screamed, wailed, whatever. Cried, wailed. Govinda Damo Dharamadaviti. So then they, out from their mouth, their heart came out of their mouths. The truth became revealed. The hereto before hidden secret of their love. Where Krishna became revealed to every villager, every Brahmin, every old man, member of the panchayat, every relative and absolute relation, every relative, their mothers, mother-in-laws, fathers, father-in-laws, brothers, brother-in-laws, everybody found out because the way they said Govinda Damodar and Madhav, Govinda Damodar Madhav, no one can say like that unless they really have intense love for someone. Someone says, hey, Joe, hey, Aditya. Aditya! You know, your lover, your wife, your mother will say the name in a special way. The name will be suffused and saturated with the bhava of the caller. Who's ever calling, they'll put their attachment and love into that sound vibration of the person's name. So no one loves Krishna like the gopis. No one's more attached to Krishna than the gopis. So now these intimate Vallabhas, Krishna Vallabhas, Shyam Vallabha, these Govinda Vallabhas, now they're crying out and announce, they're announcing, Hiri, Hiri, listen, Suniye, Suniye. Listen, let the whole world now know, guess what? I'm in love with Krishna. And my voice is telling that I love him more than anybody or anything in all places and all times. Mother-in-law, not so much love. Mother, something. Father-in-law, something. Father, a little more. Husband, zero. Krishna, everything, 100%. So it became revealed. The gopis revealed their attachment, love, and connection with Krishna by that crying out of his name. It's Govinda Damo Dara. Govinda Damo Dara Madhaveti. So in a similar way, sometime later, like 3,000 years later, which was 2,000 years ago, Mary of Magdalene, she was in her house and Jesus was carrying his cross through the village. Must be seen on the movie. And he was going carrying it through the village and up a hill, and on the top of a hill they would bury that cross in the ground, and then they would nail him to the cross and then stick it in the ground. So as he drug the heavy, heavy wooden cross through the streets of Jerusalem or Bethlehem or whatever it was, and then this lady, Mary Magdalene, she came out of her house and she had some very soft cotton cloth and she dipped it in some fragrant herbs. There's different stories about this actually. She dipped it in some water, made like a decoction or something, some cooked a bunch of herbs, frankincense and myrrh and other things. And then she put it on Jesus' face. It was almost like chloroform. There's some discussion. You know chloroform? Chloroform you put on, the person goes unconscious. It doesn't feel, then you cut them or whatever. It's like a type of anesthesia. So she put all these herbs. She wiped the blood from his face because he was bleeding due to the crown of thorns. They smashed his head. They drove a crown. They made a crown out of big babul thorn, babul, big katan, big thorns. And they said, "Oh, you're the king of the Jews? Then you should have a crown." So they put a crown of thorns on his head and smacked it with a wooden mallet so it would dig into his head. And blood is dripping down his forehead and his face. And so she came out to wipe his face because the blood was getting in his eyes. He couldn't see properly. So Mary Magdalene, she expressed a very tender act. And everybody else is afraid, scared stiff, as they say. Everyone else is hiding in their house looking out the window. Because the Pontius Pilate and all his Pontius and obnoxious friends, you know, if they saw anyone was connected to Jesus, they thought they would assume that he was part of the conspiracy of Jesus to go against the king and go against the pagan gods and say that he's the son of God and he and the God and he are one, means one in quality, not in quantity. God is, the devotee is not God, but he's also Satchidananda, but he's Anu and God is Vibhu. The devotee is atomic and small, but God is Vibhu and great and large. So Jesus, everyone was afraid to show any connection with Jesus because they were afraid they may get implemented in the conspiracy and also get hung on a cross or in the mob mentality of the mad soldiers, they may kill them or whatever. So everybody was hiding in their houses crying, but nevertheless not doing anything to help Jesus. But Mary Magdalene couldn't restrain herself, so she ran out into the street with this cloth, very soft cotton cloth dipped in all these herbs, and she very lovingly and tenderly put it on Jesus' face and wiped his face, cleaned his face. Then the sweat, all the sweat and blood impression of his nose and eyes and forehead and everything came on that cloth. And later that cloth was preserved and it ended up in Rome and it was called the Shroud of Turin. Shroud means like a chadar or a dupatta. It's like a chadar. So that chadar actually captured the imprint of Jesus' face. And Turin is some city in Italy, I suppose. It was on display there. People could see it in some preserved in some glass case or whatever. A remnant from Jesus, an archaeological remnant of the existence of Jesus, the Shroud of Turin. Even they wrote a book about it also. So she showed her Mary of Magdalene. She showed that she was not afraid of reprisal or punishment by the Roman soldiers. Of Pontius Pilate, the demoniac comps of the time. And so by this act, she revealed her intimate connection with Jesus. Because when someone loves someone, they're pretty fearless. They'll do anything for their beloved, not calculating on the reaction or the response. So because of this act that she showed so much tender care and affection for Jesus at this trying time. Some say that cloth was dipped in a bunch of herbs. And then Jesus, he smelled all those herbs and he kind of went into like a coma. So he didn't feel any of the pain that they were doing. And also, he didn't actually die on the cross. Christians try to say that, but they asked for, because the punishment was it will hang him on the cross, and his son said you can take him down. So he kept his life errors in his bones. He withdrew his life from his body and kept it in his bones or in his heart or whatever. Because he was already on these drugs from this Shroud of Turin. He was already kind of like in anesthesia, so when they were driving the nails, he didn't feel it through his hands and feet. So then his followers took his body down afterwards, took him to a cave. in a cave, then they gave him all kinds of herbs and things like this. And then he came back, he reconstituted, you know, he appeared again in the body, all the wounds were healed by his mystic power. He said, listen, I'm going to India now, you'll not see me again. And these people, this is not a favorable place to preach, so I'm going to resurrect, I'm going to disappear now, resurrection, this, that. But I will come again, I will come again and see everyone and lead everyone. So now I'm going to India to look for my God, serve my Lord. Then Jesus came to India and wandered around India for 33 years, the missing years of Jesus. And he went to Puri, Jagannath Puri, and they have some signature in their records of Jesus coming there. They allowed darshan. Those days, thousands of years ago, there was no Muslims. Muslims came later, a little bit newer type religion. So they didn't have any rules about no Muslims. So, and they recognized him as a great saint, so Jesus had darshan of Jagannath. Either in the temple or maybe on the Rath Yatra card, it's not clear. But they claim they have some record of his signature, that they say, yes, he visited here. He signed our guest book or whatever, I don't know. And then Jesus wandered here and there and south and went to many holy places in India and finally ended up at Srinagar. In Kashmir, then he left his body there. And they have there's a whole holy place there, and they claim to have the remnants of the body of Jesus is buried there in Samadhi. But you just see how much regard he had for India. He wasn't born in India, but he came and spent two-thirds of his life here, 33 years. And we live here, we're born in India, such an auspicious, pious birth. And we haven't even seen Jagannath. Jesus came and saw Jagannath. Jagannath is a Hindu god. He's Bhagavan, Purushottam. So Jesus was the founder of a new religion, Christianity. But even he came to show honor to Jagannath. What to speak of us. Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath. Jai Jagannath, Jai Jagannath.